What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
So I play too much fantasy football.
Do you? What's too much?
Did you start your own intervention? Is that what's happening right now? Like, should we help you? Like, what's going on?
It's not that I'm in like too many leagues. I'm in two leagues. One, I don't really care about my family league because there's only six of us in it. There's another one that I'm in with friends. I won it last year. And this year, and so it's like, I already won it. So it's like, I don't need to win it again, you know? That said, my draft this year was absolutely excellent. And I probably would win it again this year. But I made a terrible trade about 3 weeks, 4 weeks in.
Oh, no.
That was the worst trade ever. And I hate myself for it. And I still have a winning record. I don't like my chances as much because of this trade. Yeah. That's all to say, I never play Madden.
I don't. I mean, everyone knows this listening to the podcast. I listen to the podcast, but I don't play any sports. I don't know any sports. But you telling me that you made that really bad trade, I feel like I understand the rules of. It's like you have a team, and it's all based on like how well they're doing, how well they're playing in the actual. Okay, and then
in real life.
And so then you trade this person, and then they just start. They just start crushing.
Like, Bray, can you say who you traded? Can you say who you traded? Or is it too much?
I can say. So, here was the trade. There was a guy in my league who had Aaron Rodgers. And he was like, I want a better quarterback because Aaron Rodgers is not doing that well this year. I was thinking, well, I have a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. I have Justin Herbert, who plays for the Los Angeles Chargers. And I was like, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be that bad this year. And I can probably get somebody else for this, you know? And so I consulted with a friend of mine who was like, you should try to get him to give you Leonard Fournette. Now, Leonard Fournette is a running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's like the main running back. And in my mind, I went, well, I don't really like Leonard Fournette. I don't think he's that good. But by this point in the season, he had been doing well. And like the fantasy world ranks him very high. And in my mind, I was like, I don't know if that's enough. So I tried to get him to give me another player. And he was like, no. It's just these two guys. And I was like, okay. But then he was like, I want somebody else in return for Leonard Fournette. Give me this guy, Tony Pollard, who is Dallas's backup running back. And in my mind, I was like, but if Ezekiel Elliott goes down, Tony Pollard's going to be pretty good. Whatever, I'll do it. So I traded those two players for Leonard Fournette and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is having maybe his worst season of his NFL career.
No!
He is so bad that I am actually benching him now because he's that bad. I can't play him anymore. He's just terrible. Leonard Fournette started to take a downhill turn, and now he's injured. And now I can't play him. Ezekiel Elliott did get injured during the season, and Tony Pollard wound up having breakout games, and now... Inarguably, Pollard's like almost the running back number one. So both of those players are doing better than the two. So I had traded two players, and the two players that I traded are both doing better than two players that I got. It's bad. It's not great. I don't like it. That said, I picked up Jimmy Giamp. Wait, nobody cares about this who listens to our podcast.
No, but it's the thing. I feel like there are other people who understand. Like for me, I never played fantasy football, but you know, like. I feel like back in the day, you know, I would play games and I would try to trade. Like, for instance, if I was out in the streets right now and this was like a wrestling game or something like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like right now, I can be a GM on like on WWE 2022, you know what I'm saying? 2K22. And then as a GM, I get to pick who's on my team, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could be like, you can be SmackDown, James can be NXT, you know what I mean? And I can be like Raw, the original, you know what I'm saying?
Nice.
And
I grew up watching SmackDown. I like that.
You know what I'm saying? And that's to me, we could, so people, I get it, man. You could trade, you know what I mean? Like, you can get,
I wish
somebody.
There isn't a fantasy wrestling, is there?
It really isn't. Like, I actually.
That would be fun if they somehow figured out how to do, except for the fact that I guess wrestling is all.
Yeah, it would
I
all
think
be.
That's the hard part.
You're right. It would all be controlled by writers. And so you can't bet on it. You can't bet on it in a way and feel, I guess, good about yourself.
Right. Like you have to
bet on other stuff.
You can't bet on it the same way that you can bet on fantasy football.
I mean, honestly.
See, I don't know if that constitutes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I think
The bit is dead. It's not, that wasn't a bit.
I mean, but you just did it though. You could, like, it's not dead. It's in your bones.
But it's dead. That doesn't
count. No, he literally just said a thing that would make sense in conversation. Like, it's not
That's
even...
how it should be, James. That's how the bit should be.
No, yeah.
No, I'm sure that is.
That's how the bit should be.
Wait. It's all dead
but,
now. So.
But this one's a little different in that it's the thing we were talking about.
Like, the bit has gotten better in death. I think the bit has gotten so much better.
It's dead. Don't worry, James. It had nothing to do with it. Anyway, that said, I think it's a good time to start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Black X, all right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
What's your ranking? 72, 67. Damn! He said it so
loud. It's messed
loud.
Up that he said a number that he thought was really low and embarrassing, and the real number was actually even lower than that.
Oh, shit.
That hurts.
Oh, man. I felt so bad for him, yo.
He said, no, nobody has 100 rating. No, actually, he does. Actually, He's the first player to ever have it.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah, he said it was some sort of like a first ever record.
Could you imagine? Like, there's like I said, I just got WrestleMania and they rate the wrestlers as well. So you can be like, there are people who are like 70, but then there's people who are super nasty and their ratings aren't that good. And I'm like, you're telling me fucking John Cena is higher than fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin? Get the fuck out of here.
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah,
is it based on them now?
Bruh, because it's Attitude Era Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, who is better than him?
It's got to be like marketing, because John Cena.
Stone Cold
is still
saved
so,
the fucking
is still
thing.
So present now. No, I just mean
like, fucking John Cena. John Cena was a white dude who rapped.
He is more famous though, because he's done more movies.
Yeah, okay, that's because Stone Cold didn't want to be like The Rock.
No, that's not true. Stone Cold was in a couple movies. He just didn't.
Not only was he in a couple movies, he was like good in those movies. Which ones? He was in The Longest Yard.
John Cena did was copy The Rock. That's all he did. He ain't even Dave Bautista. He did. He did exactly everything The Rock did. He did the same movies, same shit on like hosting. He did the exact same shit.
The Rock never did episodes of Psych though.
So this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. There are three of us that co-host this podcast. The voice that you're listening to, right? Because I think sometimes people need to distinguish whose voice is who.
Oh, sure.
So the voice that you're listening to right now that sounds like the voice of
for sure on the bench.
Someone who crushes in fantasy football has won their league last year and probably will win again this year.
How do you get it out before Bray says?
That voice is Jonathan Braylock.
Water boy. Huh? What happened? this voice that sounds like
haters,
man, just could have been Emmett Smith, you know what I'm saying? Like prime time you know, voice, like, you know what I'm saying? The voice over here just mossing niggas one handed, moss, just super you know, nasty, really like on the field. About is that a Jerome Milligan career?
And I'm James the Third.
Your voice don't sound like that.
Yes, it does.
James sounds like a video game character.
Today.
The film you are reviewing this week is Fantasy Football. It's a Paramount Plus film. You can watch it now on Paramount Plus. It stars Marseille Martin, Kelly Rowland.
Kelly Rowland, baby. Ooh-hoo.
Kelly Rowland.
Good guy.
Omari Hardwick. Tony Gonzalez, an actual football player.
Oh, yeah. No, we got to talk about that, Bray. Like, how many movies have actually had the NFL, like, approval? Because, like, they...
Very few. They're very, like, particular about... And they, like, if they do have a film's approval, they're very hands-on about, like, what they can or can't show.
Doesn't NFL... Don't they have a relationship with Viacom?
So they do. So they have a football game that they started airing on Nickelodeon. Yeah, but they had like a cool Nickelodeon game.
Right. That's what I was remembering. That's what I'm remembering, the Nickelodeon stuff.
I think it started in like 2019 or the 2021 season, but the game is fire. I'm only seeing clips because I don't have cable. It looked really cool. Because, I mean, they even had the opening to... Talking about Madden, like they had the actual Madden music and opening in this. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? That's crazy. Oh, also, they had baby Captain American. Patriot was in this. Elijah Richardson. Yeah, he was in. Honestly, I was like, look at my man out here with the freckles. I thought that was so cool.
I was trying to think of where I knew him from, and I was surprised that his performance in Falcon Winter, which, I mean, he's in it, but he wasn't in it a lot, you know, like, I'm surprised that it stuck with me that much. That I was like, oh, I definitely know him. I've seen this guy act before. Like, you know what I mean?
Also, he has a very distinctive look. Like, I honestly remember when he popped up, I was like, oh my God, this is a black dude. Like, my uncle had freckles. And I was like, man, you rarely see like a black person on screen with like freckles. And I thought that was like so cool. Also, his voice is so deep and grown. I'm like, yo, bro, why your voice sound like mine, but you look 15? Like, I was so confused every time he spoke in this movie. I was like, bro, what is going on?
It's also Rome Flynn, who played the Anderson Fisher.
This nigga too pretty. Who is this? Who is he from?
Yes. I really like this actor. I saw him in...
He got to be from...
The second season of Raising Dion, but he's also... I think he's in The Haves and Have Nots or some Tyler Perry something. As well,
he's in A Madea Family Funeral.
That's it, Madea Family Funeral.
I never seen that one.
I saw it.
This nigga was like,
oh wait, he is also in The Haves and Have Not.
Okay, yeah, he's in both.
Oh, he was in The Bold and the Beautiful. Yeah, this nigga pretty as hell.
But he's really good in Raising Dion, and I thought he was great in this. Talk about how pretty he is.
I saw this nigga show up on screen, and I was like, yo, this nigga can never not work. I was like, this nigga pretty as hell. I was like, like, this nigga covers so many different nationalities and ethnicities. I was like, yo, bro, you won. I was like, I don't know what this nigga is, but like, this nigga has won. Let me look him up.
This movie is okay. It's got 40% Rotten Tomatoes. 95% audience score.
You know, kids movies don't be doing good.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But hold on. But how do you review a kids movie?
It only has 1, 2, 3, 4. It only has 5 reviews. Who are these?
I clearly enjoyed the movie, but who are these people?
Roger Moore from Movie Nation, Brandon Yu from the New York Times.
Okay, why? Why is New York Times reviewing this
and
movie?
Some guy named Todd Jorgensen from Cinema Law.
Some people don't like Joy. Oh, this nigga was in Drumline.
Well, Brandon Yu said, although the film can be lightly charming, it is mostly perfunctory.
What is that?
Nobody want to know about
perfunctory.
Don't open with perfunctory.
Carried out with a minimum of effort or reflection.
Don't open the review with perfunctory, okay? I'm not paying attention to you, cuz.
I know. To call a film whose premise is a daughter and a father get struck by lightning and therefore when she plays the video game, she controls her dad. Perfunctory is the absolute essence of pretentious. It's
just like, why?
What are we doing?
Perfunctory. Why?
Who's reading this review going like, oh, it's perfunctory. Never mind.
And therefore, my child will not watch.
I shall not click on this Nickelodeon film.
I shall not share this with my child. This ain't Harvard. This is a Paramount Plus.
It's a movie for kids.
Streamer.
For kids.
And yes.
It's a Nickelodeon movie. All right. Shall we do an initial? Oh, yeah. Like I said, the film is about father and daughter. They get struck by lightning. So does the video game. The daughter realizes that she can control her dad and therefore help him in his NFL career by playing him on Madden. And hilarity ensues.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine. Enjoy Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Shall we do initial thoughts?
I will start. I had a great time. I very much enjoyed this movie. I have like 3 moments that I would have shifted from like a writing standpoint, perhaps a directorial tone standpoint. but just a couple. I had a great time. I was fully in dad mode though watching this. Okay, so there was a lot of stuff that were hit. First of all, Marseille came out, and I was like, why she got all that damn makeup? Like, that was my first. Why was that my first? Why on earth was that my first reaction to this? I couldn't believe it. I was furious with myself. Anyway, as the movie goes on, because it's about a dad so like self-absorbed with like his career and the fact that he's like doing it so that his family can have a life, and specifically his daughter can have the life that he wants to have for her. It was too much for me as somebody who is still staying up late at night writing scripts that maybe nobody will ever see. So that was like, it was like, it was really hitting a lot of things for me. And yeah, I mean, there's stuff in this that I thought was like genuinely funny. I thought Amari did a great job, especially in the beginning, the kind of very slapsticky, like him cup his eyes fully welling with tears after he gets demoted to the practice team and stuff like that. I thought was cool. I would if I would have changed anything, I feel like this movie needed to be balanced a little bit more as like from Marseille's POV. Even still, you know, after probably the rewrite being more. You know, who knows what the original draft was. That's the main thing that I will say. But I thought that I loved seeing this family together. I thought the movie was cool, and I thought it looked good, and I loved the way they shot the football. I thought was really
cool. Yeah, man, I actually enjoyed this movie. It made me wish that I was with my little cousins to watch it. I'd be curious to know like what they think. Like they're between six and the oldest is now 16. Wow, I got it.
Oh, that's a perfect demo to get.
All girls. So I'm very curious to know like how they would have felt about it. But I definitely enjoyed it. And what is funny, I definitely, like, I don't have kids, but I know how old I am, because James, I had the exact same thought. Like, why is she wearing makeup? Like, what is happening? Then when her little friend showed up with the curly hair, I was like, this little girl got on makeup too. Like, what are these kids doing? I remember being so offended. I was like, how dare you take your daughter to this football player's
this is a problem.
Party? I was like, what is happening?
This
like,
is
why
a
is she
problem.
There? Oh, man. I was like, this, no. But it was super enjoyable. It's so funny because, James, what you're talking about is literally my fear of kids. Of like, damn, man, I have a kid and the kid going to do what I want to do with some shit. How do I deal with this? So listening to Omari, like, literally... at one point, just saying everything he didn't have, everything that didn't go right. Like he said it a few times in it. It was so fascinating because at one point I kind of liked the fact that instead of, what was it, Rome's character being like the true big bad, it almost was the dad's like just pride. Like no matter what, like he just kept asking for stuff. Like he was the reason she was lying. He was the reason that she was losing the friends she was just about to make. Literally without seeing any stop to it. It wasn't even like he was like giving her hella gifts to like keep her buttered up or the, like, you know what I mean? Like he wasn't even doing the stuff.
There was nothing in exchange. It was just
nothing.
What he got out of it. Yeah.
But I will say I did love all the access it had to the NFL. Like, I mean, to me, outside of like ballers, like I tried to think about Any Given Sunday and like The Replacements and some other movies, but I'm like, nah, man, this was, matter of fact, so much so that I watched this on Sunday. And I cut off the movie because I was like, oh, yeah, the Commanders, stupid ass name. The Commanders were playing the Falcons. And I'm like, oh, let me watch that game instead of watching this fake ass game. And the Commanders, trash name, won. So I was like, oh, yeah, it made me like actually think about the actual NFL. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And Marseille did good. I thought she acted her ass off. And then it was a couple of scenes with Kelly Rowland. And I was like, Kelly, look, man. I love you. But like Marseille just acted her ass off. Kelly came in right after that doing so many hand motions. I was like, girl, you're fucking landing a goddamn plane. Literally at one point she just in his face, just arms going everywhere. I was like, Lord. But anyway, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I also enjoy this movie. I feel like I like the family. I like Kelly Rowland. I really liked Omari. I thought he did a great job. So did, what's his name? Rome? Flynn, who played Anderson. Like, I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, I think, like, if I had any critique of this movie, it would be, I guess, the same thing. Like, I feel like Marseille's character, I feel like we could have gotten a little bit more with her. And, like, the robotics team was, like, somewhat interesting. But I feel like we never fully, like, it shouldn't have been that it was just all her dad's fault. Like, it should be, it was also her fault for, like, abandoning her, these group of friends that were, like, welcoming her in. But I feel like we didn't, like, fully understand, like, one, why it even took so much time. Like, her dad's success took her so much time. Like, she wound up, it's like she did, like, want that spotlight in a way, but I feel like they could have played with that a little more, you know what I mean? Like, and they had, like, some of the lines in there, like, you know, like, the guy at one point was like, we're not mad at your dad, we're mad at you, you know, because she kept blaming her dad. But the fact is, like, she didn't have to go on all those interviews and all that stuff. Like, that was something that she wanted to do because she wanted the credit and she wasn't really getting it. But I feel like we didn't really, we, like, kind of explored it, but I don't know. They could have done maybe just a little bit better of a job, like, you know? Because she had the same pride that her dad had in a weird way. Like, she was really great at Madden. She liked embarrassing people at it, like, that kind of thing. And then she wanted the credit because she was being so good, you know? But that said, like, I still thought it was, like, really fun. I feel like they balanced, like, the comedy really well. Like, you know, and, like, the premise itself is so utterly ridiculous. But it's so, it's, like, one of those things where the movie was very clear. It was just, like, just buy into this. Like, we're not really going to explain it. Like, this is just what the movie is. Like, don't think about the logic of it. It's like, okay, fine. You know, like, not thinking about this logic at all, you know? Yeah, it was fun. And they had fun. They had, like, some fun ways of, like, keeping that up. But yeah, should we dive in?
I mean, it's interesting.
Let's do it.
You get that VO about how many, first off, what's his character's name? Bobby. Bobby's very first play in the NFL for the Dolphins is a fumble. And it's like, that wasn't his first one. And it's just
it was his first, but it wasn't his last. Yeah.
There's a bunch of
which is funny because, like, he apparently has been in this league for 10 years. And the reality is, you can't be in the league for 10 years if you're just terrible.
If you're that bad?
Especially a running back, there's no chance he would be in the league for that long. So, like, in a weird way, it was like being in the NFL for 10 years is a feat in and of itself, you know? But it was like he just kept getting traded. And it was like the idea was like he just never fully lived up to this potential that he had coming out of college where he was a Heisman Trophy winner. And, like, all these teams kept taking a chance on him because they were like, I don't know, maybe he'll turn it around this year, you know? But he never does, so he keeps getting traded and traded, yeah.
What's that? No, I'm not even going, I ain't going to crap on nobody because I ain't in the NFL. But there's always one, this one player, man, he used to, I was like, I don't know if he ever was good. I done seen that man go from being a player to an announcer, back to a player again, then being traded again. And I'm like, yo, how do we still keep talking about this dude? But anyway, so I guess, yeah, he's so bad for average. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, just as a kid.
You know which one I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, Bray?
What position does he play?
I certainly don't know.
Tight end?
Oh, okay.
Was that his position? No, was he quarterback? What the fuck? Hold on, wait. I got to figure out. So I feel like he started as a tight end. No, I feel like he was a quarterback. But then they made him a tight end because he was a bad quarterback in the NFL. And then, like, I'm gonna keep looking up. You guys continue. Okay.
This is interesting.
You guys continue.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Now I know who you're talking about.
Who is it? But I was like, what was this?
You're talking about.
Yes. I don't
who you're talking about.
So hyped.
We're still talking about
so
him?
Hyped. I saw
no,
him.
He's out. But he's you're out. Right. He did have a.
He stayed with a comeback, man.
He was never, like, good. Yeah.
Anyway, but it's so interesting because when she finally gets to this new school, it is interesting because I never thought about if you were the kid of a professional athlete who was mid, you probably had kind of an army brat lifestyle. Like, you probably were moving nonstop. I just never equated to the fact of, like, oh yeah, like, I mean, even if you think about LeBron's kids, like LeBron is famous, but LeBron's played in what, three different teams? Is like, I don't know if they move every single time. But
he spends, yeah, probably.
Think about Ryan Fitzpatrick's kids. Ryan Fitzpatrick played for like so many different teams in the NFL. He kept going, moving. Yeah, it's there was a line early on where Omari Bobby was like, why don't you like, you should like go out, like why don't you like make some friends? And I was like, I literally in my gut was like, how dare you? How dare you say that? Are you kidding me? You're moving this girl around from city to city and you're telling her why doesn't she make some friends? You're the reason why. Why? So she could just have to leave them in a year? Like, no.
Could you imagine? Oh my God, that'd be so sad. So
but
sad.
They did a really good job in the beginning, I feel like, of making you feel like the family loved each other. Like, everyone loved each other. You know, they had some problems, but like, it was so clear, like the love that he had for his daughter and his wife and the love that they both had for him and each other, you know? So like, I really liked that. Like, there was a lot of like fun that they had and like dancing and like the play, like between them was like really nice. It's like, we've talked about this before, but it's like, I forget how good that feels to like see on screen, like in a movie, just to see like a black family that's all together, that's like not dealing with like drugs and like, you know, like gang violence. And like, again, like I know that's a part of some people's lives, but it's just like, it was so nice to see this, like, you know, like, I guess like upper middle class black family, like lit, like just loving on each other and like being a family unit was really
cool.
Yeah,
like when Kelly was hugging everybody, I'm like, man, could you just imagine her just wrapping those arms around you and just like,
I wasn't thinking about that, but certainly there was something to seeing every time she did a victory dance. There was something very like, it was like palpable. Like you felt the joy of that. Like it was like,
wow. She had a good smile, man. Wait, is she married? What's up with her? Let me look up.
What are you doing, Drew?
By the way, could I tell you that I had no idea what the premise of this film was when we started watching it. I had zero clue. I like didn't watch the trailer. I didn't know anything about it. And so about like, I don't know when the premise finally happens, but about like 10 or 15 minutes into the movie, I was like, man, I'm really enjoying this. And I was like, I also have no idea where this is going. I was like, I know it's going somewhere. Like, I know something. When the scene, when like they were in the car after he, so wait, why don't we talk about the party scene? Cause that was really funny.
The only thing about that party scene, man, is I'm like looking at him talking about his like festival food. Because they did a good job, I think, of like making him a dick, but also making him so like nice and dumb at the same time.
He's charming. Yeah. Yeah. He's yeah. like just the right yeah. level. Just yeah.
Well, like, because it was also like, it was like, those were just his skills. Like he just was talented, you know? and he was earnest also though. Like he like earnestly like was like, I'm excited about my success. And also like, I'm glad this dude is here. And also like,
yo, one of my favorite lines was like, hey man, you're my favorite player. He was like, really? He was like, yeah, dude, of course, man. Like everybody in fifth grade loved you.
Just genuine. Like, that's just a genuine reality.
Like the whole fifth grade class. And he was just like, what?
Yo, but that's so real, man. That's so real. It's like when I be hearing stories about like even quarterbacks now talk about like Tom Brady and stuff and how old they were when Tom Brady won his third ring. It's like you were in high school when he won his third ring. I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like even thinking about like LeBron is like, yo. Anyway, but it's so funny because he gives things.
I wasn't even in high school when Tom Brady won his first ring. I wasn't in high school yet when he won his first ring. He's playing with people today who probably were like 2 years old when he won his first ring. If even born, you know what I mean?
That is wild.
He's old, never retiring. Like 40, what's the thing? I don't know, because he did retire, right?
And then I mean, he did, but he came back.
And then he came back like 2 months later before the season started. It was like
psych. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm getting divorced with my wife and I'm coming back.
You thought. They said she bought a house right across the street. And I'm like, you know what? I'm here for it. That's the kind of toxicity I'm here for. That's what I'm talking about. Show me you love me. What is it? No, but then once they get to the house, they start playing Madden or whatever. Like,
he's also like showing him all this stuff. He's like, I got these bobbleheads.
Like the plaque? The plaque on the wall that's like glow. Oh man.
And he's like, hey, you know, pride is one of the seven deadly sins. He's like, yeah, well, so is gluttony. Just kidding.
It's probably because that shirt's so small.
It's probably just the shirt so small. Yo, the amount of like low key diss, like, oh my god, it was.
He
amazing.
Disses him this whole. That's what I'm saying. Like, he is an asshole. Like, he disses him this entire movie. Yo, I mean, even at one point when he go back to play the game, and when Rome finally calls out Bobby and is like, "Yo, come get on the sticks." The whole time I was like, "Please, man, please don't pick up those sticks. Please don't do this to yourself with everybody in here with your daughter right here. Don't do this, bruh."
That was a perfect cut, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I love
that
they just cut immediately to the car. It's raining and he's just upset. And they're looking at him like, I've never seen anyone get scored 86 points in a game before.
Also, they were fucked up. They were like beating him when he was down, man. They was beating him when he was down. My man was broken.
They really were.
They like. At that point, I was like, this is a little mean. Like, he was literally broken.
I think they didn't understand. They didn't understand how hurt he was.
It was confusing that they wouldn't get it. Because he has so consistently not been the best, you know? Like,
it is one of those things, though, where it's like, I mean, it's hard to compare in our career. Because, like, our career can go on for so long. But, like, you know, in football, it's like, he's been in the league for 10 years. Like, for him to compare himself to somebody who's that young just feels silly. You know what I mean? It's like, of course you're not going to be as good as him. Like, you're so much older. Like, you're past your prime.
But he wasn't even legendary, though. I think that's the thing.
And that's the thing, was that he was looking at him like, I never had that. I, like, never got to that place, even though I was supposed to. You know.
Right. And they're like, we're good. Like, you've been on X amount of teams. Like, you're still playing. Like, the income is still coming in.
Fuck that. Nah. I don't want that shit.
I know, but that's the thing. It's like,
nah, I don't want none of that shit.
That's the one thing. It's like, how do they not get that he would have never won? Like, you know what I mean? Why would they not get that he didn't, you know, he wants more for himself?
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week, on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/officehourslive.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that was so interesting about his character, and maybe, you know, in my twilight of years, I'm starting to realize, it's like, yeah, man, you want
twilight
that,
of years.
You want that success.
You could literally pop 10 years from now.
Yeah, man.
10 years from now,
nigga,
could you
imagine
pop in a way that would change everything?
James, in 3 years, it's true. But in 3 years, you know the kind of conversations I got to have, not being married, no kids, and still being like, I could pop in a year.
You can't say that out loud. That is still a reality.
I will say. Wait, can I say this? This is so real. I had a flash. I forgot when I had this, but I fully had a flash of like myself, like in my like early 50s, like talking to like young people who are like getting into the business and being like, yeah, well, like once upon a time, like I had my own television show. And they're like, really? And it's like, yeah, for one season, I had six episodes of a television show.
Oh, no.
And I was just like, you could even see it. And they're like, whoa, I dug it up in the archives.
No.
Like,
you know?
And I was like, oh my God, like that could totally be me. Just like, it was like, you had your 5-15 minutes of fame and then it was gone. It was like, and yeah, then I tasted a little bit of that Hollywood.
And then them hearing that it was on Netflix also. Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, they had a lot of shows. Yeah, Netflix had a lot of shows. Oh, no. But when he was going through this, it was so real. And then when he gets out the car, it was so interesting because I'm like, I personally haven't had like a moment like this.
I knew something was going to happen.
The first of many scenes in the rain.
Yes. And it's so interesting because at this point, I literally said, what is happening? And then I went, logic doesn't matter. And I was like, and I remember I said audibly, logic doesn't matter. Because at one point I was like, from this point on, there's going to be no way that any of this makes sense if I think about it for too long. And I was like, we just
what
hit
do you
a half
mean? Like
baby.
When they from when they get struck by lightning or
because just how the mechanics of what is like because basically
there's
like,
no mechanics to
mechanics?
It. Wait, now I will say though, but Gerard, you have to imagine. Picture me. I did not know what the premise of this movie was. I told you, I was like, I don't even know what the premise of this movie is. But while they were in the car and it was raining, I was like, just with the score and everything, I was like, okay, clearly, whatever the premise of this movie is about to happen. I could feel it. I was like, the premise of the movie is about to happen, but I don't know what it is. And they pull over and they're fighting with this thing. And I was like, what's going to happen? And then when they get struck by lightning, in my mind, I was like, are they going to be transported into this video game? are they about to become video game characters?
That's a sequel. That's a sequel
That's what I thought was going to happen. And then when nothing happened after that, I was like, okay, like what just happened? Like what's going to happen now? I don't get it. And it wasn't until we get.
Well, I'm mad I didn't text y'all because I almost said maybe 5 minutes into the movie, oh my God, is this premise? And then I almost said what the exact premise of the movie was.
Wait, so neither one of
you didn't know what it was, but you guessed it?
I didn't know what it was, but I guess, yeah, because she was when she was so good at Madden was when I was like, oh, and he's so bad. It was like, oh, it's going to be fantasy football, but that she's playing him. I didn't know what they were going to do or how it was going to happen, but it was like.
When they got electrocuted, I was like, okay, like you know, I was like, all right, this is like,
the power, Gerard. The power went into it, hit everything. The power hit the game, and then it hit them. That's the mechanic. The mechanics is the magic came down.
My favorite part, my favorite part about this scene was that Kelly Rowland yells at them and goes, see what you guys did, and I was like, no. You cannot blame them for getting struck by lightning. No. I was like, absolutely not. That's the freak accident. You should be like, oh my God, are you two okay?
Well, you can blame them for being all out in the rain. Like, they
James,
need to be.
How many times have you been in the rain and how many times have you gotten struck by lightning?
Hey, listen, I remember getting yelled at for being in the rain because you might get struck by lightning. I do remember that. I do remember as a kid, it's like, oh, you don't play out in the rain. You might mess around.
You don't go in the pool when there's a lightning storm, but just walking in the
you can't mess around with any amount of water.
Any amount of water. First of all, they were fighting. They were legit fighting over this goddamn game in the rain. And I was like,
yeah, he was being so petty.
I was like, no, man, fuck them. Okay, you fucked them.
No.
There was me and him. My man was already sad. He was put on the practice squad.
I didn't like that Marseille had to apologize first.
Yeah,
she apologized first. I was like what?
Come on now.
But then it came back. It came back in the end because he apologized for everything. But I couldn't believe that that's how we were ending this scene.
They was mean to him.
I mean, they were mean to him, but like. But anyway,
fuck that
game. It was weird for them to apologize to each other. They got struck
over Madden, and it is just So this is one of the things about the movie, though, that I am like, I don't know, because Madden is just a game. But at the end, when he says that his job is just a game, that was a little, I don't know how I feel about it.
I mean, it is a game.
It is, but it is a game.
His job is playing a game, but his job is not just a game, if that makes sense. His job is a little bit bigger than the game. You know, like to do the job.
But okay, but what he cared about, it was less about him providing for his family or whatever. What he cared about was like being considered the best.
Right.
At a game.
Right. Which that's what I'm talking about. I just feel like they could have like threaded that a little bit more. Because there is a limited window to this is me overriding, but still, because there's a limited window to doing this job, right? It's like you are thinking about the endorsements. You are thinking about, you sort of need to get in some kind of way in order to continue to provide for the family. So that was my one thing. But I did like them, because like, yes, they can joke right now. Madden is just a game, and he needs to know that, you know.
We got a game. This is a movie where a girl plays Madden and controls her dad. Like, that is the movie we're watching.
Somehow, so, like, she puts in this game that's, like, has electric, like, the electricity is still running through it somehow, and she puts it in, and he's at practice. And again, we don't think about the logic of this, but she's playing and he's doing the exact same things that she's doing at practice.
Because she's in practice mode on the game, right?
I have no idea if it's even to that degree. I don't know. Because there's also that point where she pauses the game because he's not playing, and it doesn't matter that she's paused the game. It only matters that she's playing him at the same time. It's you can't think about it too much.
You're right. All of a sudden she's doing outlandish Madden. First off, okay, so this is the thing. I know they said Madden just a game, but there's certain games I don't play with people, okay? Unless I really know you or I'm drunk. I'm not playing Uno, okay? I'm not playing Spades, and I'm not playing Madden. Because those are the three games.
Why Uno?
Because, bro, I done seen fights.
Why Uno? You haven't been in the trenches with Uno. Bruh. Uno gets...
What? Like, Uno?
Uno, baby, come on, hold on.
two Christmases ago, okay, 2020. 2020, I played a game of Uno on a Friday night thinking nothing of it, okay? Everybody got their own rules, all right? Everybody got their own rules. I'm like, you know, if you're going to make the game go last, you can't be doing all the pile-ons. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple. It was a bunch of people. Like, no one knew how everybody else played. Keep it new. When I say this game caused a rift, okay, in friendships, people still don't talk to this day because of that game.
Exact. I get that. And the thing is, you have to say what the rules of this Uno game is. At the start, you got to say it at the start, because if you don't, you're gonna get to that point where somebody.
Wait, like what? Like whether or not you can put like a draw four on a draw four?
Yeah. So yeah,
it's stuff like that.
So
yes,
some people,
exactly.
Do pylons. Some people do like, you know, you can do numbers in a row.
No. When I do the draw four, that's it. It's over now. You can't put another one on top of it. You got to just draw four.
You have to draw four. But if I had, but the thing, the way the game, but like the rules of the other cards are, if I have the same card as you, I can put it down over the right. So then, if I have the draw four, then bop, I'm gonna put the draw four down, and then you have to do it now. You know, and so then
if I got four fours. But it's like a green, a yellow, a red, a blue. I could put down all four fours. Some people
at the
play
same
like
time.
That.
Yeah.
Some play like that. Some play like that.
Some people don't play like that.
See what I'm saying? The rules.
Wait, really?
Yeah, man.
There's a rule book.
Whoa. What are you talking about? Is it really?
Of course there's a rule.
No, I don't believe it. Ain't nobody ever seen
is
that.
Is it really true?
Bro, I even got the Uno Marvel edition, okay, with the flipping and shit. Crazy. Don't make no sense.
Oh, that's cool. Never heard of that.
It don't make no sense. Anyway, but Madden is so serious. So when she's playing Madden, my man is like killing it on the practice squad, gets added to the real squad, baby.
Yeah.
He's like, let's
that was cool because it happened immediately.
So
yeah, they were like, hey, you're on the team now because you were did so well in practice. We believe in you. And then she sees some video of his practice and was like, wait a minute. And then she goes to her game, which she recorded, and was like, I think I was helping you. And he's like, that's, you're being crazy. That's insane. And she's like, well, why don't we test it out? It can't hurt, right? And then they test it out, and then it works. And she realizes that, yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciated that he found out right away.
Same.
I really appreciated that. And then it's very funny that the thing that makes him realize... Him crushing it, he's never crushed. He hasn't crushed it in years. that doesn't make him think that it's working. The thing that makes him think that it's working is when he does the dance and he's like, well, I don't want to do this dance. So doing this dance is what makes me... It's just funny that he never second guessed his skills, which he knew he had.
It
took her making him do this dance to make him go, all right, the game is working.
I also like that he was in on it so quick. He was like, yeah, man, bet. Let's keep it going. Like, let's do this.
That. Okay, yeah, I need you. Help me out.
The hard part about this movie is I really enjoyed the movie. And Bray, I think you hit on it earlier. It's when it gets to the science, the STEM kids. You know what? I think the issue is, not the issue, but I think Marseille, maybe because I've seen her on Blackish and even in Bigger, her demeanor is so adult. So watching her around other kids for some reason just was like, it's not as fun now.
You know, that's so funny.
To be fair, I mean, not to be fair. To be mean, I don't think those kids, I don't think the other actors had, I don't think they were able to, they were like, especially that one girl, they were in a Nickelodeon movie. And Marseille was like, I'm in a real movie.
But what's also weird about it too, is like when she was playing a high schooler, I was still like, that's how young she is. I still had that this thing of like, because she's been around for so long, she has her own company and she's been doing all this stuff that I'm just like, she's still a kid. Like, I couldn't even fathom it. And this is a little bit of the writing too, but those kids were definitely like, were Nickelodeon kids. They were like, you know, they're in a multicam series.
Also, it was so tough because I really enjoyed, but I mean, of course they needed to be there, and like I enjoyed that they were STEM kids and like nobody was like bullying her. It was like, nah man, we just need you to like help us do this shit because you're better than us. Like the fact that she had that, whatever the fuck she did with her phone, like to impress them, like earlier I was like, I don't even
hack into the sprinkler system that apparently was
I was like all right. You know, it was interesting again, like when the love interest, what is his name again?
It was hard to not feel like that was like, it just didn't quite congeal. Like it didn't, they felt like separate movies.
It did a little bit. It did.
Because it was though, like it was separate. It was separate. She almost never talks to her parents about doing it. You know, there's the one time where she's like, I have to do the science thing. The like one time she says it to her dad. But they it just exists separately. So it doesn't feel threaded together at all. And then I don't know, like there's something about the pacing of those scenes. And yeah, we can put it on the kids, but I also felt like from a directing and writing standpoint, the pacing of this the science robotics seems it was like weird. It was like it was different. We just were in a different.
Yeah, it's just so interesting because like that should be the part I think should be the most kid friendly and fun. Like I did love when she first joins up and they're like, all right, procrastinate. And they go have this very like
that was incredible
fun time.
And smart ass kids was like, we don't need to do this right now. Let's go go-karting.
I thought that was so fun.
I loved that.
Because you know what it was? I do get like, it felt very purposeful that these kids were in STEM and they were like building shit. And I was like, all right, cool. I get this. Great. I love that they're having fun. You know, like my man keeps talking about how pretty he is the whole time. I was like, all right, cool. My man's smooth. I appreciate this.
I don't know how easy this would have been to do, but there were a couple of things that were set up that we didn't get to necessarily see. Like the fact that she has moved around so much and has had a hard time making friends, like we didn't get to play with that at all. Like the fact that like, hey, maybe she's standoffish or maybe she like keeps people, you know, at an arm's length because she doesn't want to get too invested because it's hurt her so much when she has friends and then she has to leave them, you know, and she's done it so many times that she winds up not having friends. Like,
yeah. Or that's something like, that was perfunctory about the movie. They didn't go into that.
Fuck out of here, man.
The more we talk about the things that are not in the movie, I'm like, hold up, was this?
No, I'm not doing this with you. No.
It's true though, because they could have gone into that. They really could have. And they don't. And not going into that is part of why. It feels like, it's like, why don't we know what's going on for Marseille really? You know, like, it doesn't feel like we really get it. And it's because they're just like, well, we said it in that one scene. And so therefore, you know, she's dealing with that, you know?
No. Yeah. And like, you know, it would have been nice to like see exactly why she connects with the love interest, you know, like.
Because he's pretty. Like,
He's pretty, but and like he was an army brat, right? Like he was an army brat, so they both moved around a lot, and it was like that was nice. But like after they initially talk about that, we never really hear about that again. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you would think, especially at that moment when she gets mad about the game, or he has to leave or whatever, there could have been some thing of how like, oh, I thought we connected, or I thought we blah blah blah, I'm gonna go, you know. There could have been some lines to help to thread what you're talking about even more, you know. But
yeah, and I'm surprised she never said any, I mean, and maybe this is just, maybe I don't know, maybe I'm thinking about this too much, but I'm surprised she never said anything about the fact that like my dad's been like has had this career that's like been apart from me for so long. Like this is the first time I ever feel like I'm really getting to connect with him. Like that's why I'm spending all the time with, you know.
See, I didn't even need that. I saw it in her eyes. You know what I'm saying?
She says something like that, but she says something in that area, but it's not what you're saying, which is like, it's always been so important and therefore I have to do this. I need to do this. I want to do this, you know? She says, I think there's like one time where she says something like, it's always been my dad. I can't even remember who she was talking to. It might've been him, but it's like, but it would have been nice to hear her say, yes, I have to do this. You know, that feeling of feeling like she has to do this because this is all that matters.
And I will say this, I actually do wish that they had told that Kelly Rowland had known at some point, because it would have been nice to just get at least a taste of the moral conundrum of the fact that she is helping him cheat. You know what I mean? Like,
That's what I thought. I thought Kelly would find out and then they would talk about it, about the fact that it's been cheating for the last, I don't know how many
years. Yeah, and like,
but they didn't do that.
It's like, yeah, it's weird. They didn't do it at all. And like, not only did they not do it at all, like by the end, like they're, like it almost never comes up. I don't even think they ever. Yeah, she says maybe.
It's only addressed in this way, which is not the same thing, but is you never needed the game. That's the way they address. That's the way they address.
Which isn't true.
It's not true. He needed the game. He needed the game. He needed it.
Like, desperately needed it.
But because, similarly to the Army Brat thing, because the movie says at the end that he didn't need the game, the reality is, he never needed the game. And we're just supposed to accept that and be like, right, cool with it.
Okay. And then along with those lines, and again, I know it's a Nickelodeon. I know it's a kids movie, and maybe this is why they never did it. But the idea that no one, not a single person ever went, are you using steroids? Yeah. Are you using performance enhancing drugs?
That's what the dude was trying to do.
But he never said it, though.
He never said it.
Because
he ain't no... Yeah.
And he never...
Wait, which dude?
The other guy.
The other football player.
Well, he knew something was up, you know, and he was like... He was like, you got to tell me what the secret is.
You're right, at a press conference, I feel like he tried to like, he tried to be like, hey man, you on that stuff? Because he ain't doing it. But
I'm like, they probably just didn't want to say steroids. Probably just didn't want to say
at all. They didn't want to bring it up at all.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was the NFL that didn't want that. And it honestly might be.
I would bet that it was, but both parties, like both Paramount and NFL, like, don't want them to say Paramount for what it would mean for kids to hear it, and then NFL for what it would mean for the NFL.
Kids movies are usually okay with like talking about that stuff and being like, that's wrong.
So long,
you know
as
what
it's
I mean?
Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, and I feel like the NFL, like, they don't want anybody making those associations that like any of our players would ever do this, even though DeAndre Hopkins this year was like, he was suspended for 6 games because he tested positive for something that might have been a PED, you know, like it was like, yeah, it's not, it doesn't come up a lot in the NFL as much as like in like baseball, probably because they don't test for it as
or
much.
An actor. I feel like have these actors on drugs. But we can't, we don't like test
it. I just thought it was like, I was like, that's the most obvious. Like, when everyone's like, what's the secret? It's like, the entire world would be like, yo, clearly this dude is juicing. Like, he has to be cheating. There's no way. There's no way, you know?
But he wasn't like necessarily faster. He was like moving in a dip. Like he was maneuvering. He was, would steroids do that though? Would steroids make him? But this is my question. Would steroids
no,
make him?
No, no, no.
They wouldn't make him able to like dodge. You know, like he's like,
I don't know. He was jumping over
him stronger reflexes.
He does do a full.
Yo, he was out here making moves, man. He was
flip
like,
he does a full flip over like 8 guys. Like, that was crazy.
But that's just naturally where you would, your mind would go. It's like, well, what else could this be?
Out of nowhere, you've been a bum.
I'll tell you where your mind will never go. I'll tell you what would never, ever happen. No one would ever put together that it was a video game controlling. The fact that
Rome's scene when he has to do it, I was like, I can't believe they're making this actor do this. Because there's that thing of like, you're like, oh, someone's going to have to find out or blah, blah. When we get to that scene, it's just like, we're going to have to watch him try to piece this together.
He's literally
in a
like,
way that...
no, that's crazy. Wait.
I thought he did a good job, but that was like...
He did as good of a job as you possibly
as you
could
do
with a scene that is absolutely ludicrous. and then to follow that up with, then he has to try to out him in front of the whole team. And even if he had the evidence, even if he if you showed me a game where somebody's the video game was doing the exact same moves as the person in real life, I wouldn't for a second remotely think that the video game was controlling this person. I would immediately go, yeah, whoever created this just watched the real life thing and made this thing. And they would show me the timestamp and I would be like, that's forged.
Yeah.
It's funny because he goes, and he also was like, I don't know how you're doing it, but it's like some magical video game.
Yeah. And the like, game is magic.
He sounds so crazy saying.
This also made me think that they were going to bring up cheating or some kind of, or kind of deal with the ramifications of this a little bit harder, because him saying that in front of everyone really makes him look crazy. Like, it makes him look out of his mind in a way that it's
crazy.
Like, oh, you know, like
this dude's like breaking because he's being supplanted. Yeah.
Right. And he was on the road to being like by his own talent on the road to being the next guy. So it's like we have to sort of deal with the fall of this man, you know, in a more direct way. And they don't. Which is, again,
it ain't about
fine.
Him. It ain't about him. It ain't about him.
They could have a little bit.
This movie, if you think about it, this movie is, how long was it? It is, they moved at a breakneck
94
speed.
Minutes. It's pretty good. It's pretty
like,
good. 94
I feel
minutes.
Like, I mean, they dressed as much as they could in like a movie made for like literal 12-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't know. It's like, we're as adults, like, yeah, it could be more in depth. I'm like, no, man, this movie was about this little girl, okay, who can't have no fucking friends. All right, got a dude she thinks is cute. But her dad keep asking her to do shit. And then she literally goes at one point, can we just tell mom? And he's like, nah. So it's like, this little girl has tried to do everything right. At one point, I watched her.
I forgot that she asked. She asked?
She did. Oh, she was like, can we just tell mom? I don't like lying to her.
I don't think it was so just supposed to be like, oh, this dad screwed her up the whole time. It's not. Because it's. She needs to take accountability for the fact that she wanted to be doing this with her dad, which is why I wanted them to explore that a little
see,
bit
I don't
more.
Think
because
she, it, I see, this is my thing. I don't think she wanted to do that stuff. I think it was like she wanted to make her dad happy. Because I feel like even at one point when she has to go on that press tour, so on that press tour is a moment where she's just standing on the side texting the fucking the robot friend people, and that white lady is looking at her like with dollar signs in her eyes, and the little white lady is like, your daughter needs to go do this tour. And at one point, literally on the tour, like she's trying to text the people, and the white lady takes her phone and pushes her over with her
dad. It is the press agent, because it's that moment when she like.
Oh, no, I said the white lady, the press agent. Yeah, the press lady.
But it's that moment when she, it happens at that moment when she's like, and can I get a car? Like when she just decides to like, the press agent is like, this is gold.
Exactly. But that she inserted herself into that.
Because her dad wasn't giving her credit. It was like, at one point, I'm helping you, dude. Like, we had already seen.
Of course he's not giving her credit. He can't give her
credit. Or say something. But also, like, he didn't say anything nice even before then, because the scene before that was like, she had just literally struggled during her little science fair and then, like, playing Madden in a closet somewhere. And then, like, she came home and her dad was like, look what I did. And he's like, I mean, we. But I did.
So,
like, you know,
so the thing is, I don't actually think that it's about credit. I think it's about the fact that she is making she is doing all of this work and she doesn't get anything. She doesn't get anything out of it.
She's not getting anything out of it.
The sacrifice of like not being able to live her life to do this. So it's not so much that she wanted him to say, my daughter is doing all of this. It's that like, she's like, well, I have at least better get the car, you know, like if I'm gonna have to do all of this, you know, and so, but again, they could have gone into it more.
I wish they did, because it's never good to just have your protagonist like have no flaws and like
right,
no,
you know
she's
what I mean?
Perfect.
Like,
yeah. Bray, she's perfect, okay?
and like, they did try to make her have flaws with the friend group, because the friends are like, yo, like, sure, you have your excuses, but like, you're the one who's disappointing us. It's still you who's doing it. And you're not necessarily being forced to do it, you know, like, so they like did kind of do that there. But I just wish that they developed that just a little bit more. So it's just a little bit more, I don't know, like media. So like we understood like where she was coming from with all of this. And like why she was doing it so much, you know. And also there's just some logic, a little stretches of logic of how much it was taking over her. I mean, they had to do the press thing, because I was like, it kind of didn't make any sense. It was like, he plays a 3-hour game on Sunday, you know what I mean? Like, that's not that much time. You could easily play Madden for, you were clearly playing Madden for more than 3 hours a week before this.
Yeah,
so
to
you
be
could
as good
easily
as you
do
are.
That. You know what I mean? You could easily play 3 hours a week and then not screw up your life.
Well, she didn't have friends before, so now she got friends and she's trying to do
it. I thought the robot, you know, convention on the same day as the game was that was great, but it was just that they had to keep doing that and it didn't it started to not make any sense. I was like, how is she not able to do this robotics arm thing?
Yeah,
like,
they're
she
has always so much time on Sundays.
Yeah. Like always. And it was like, and I was like, okay. And then it was like the press tour, but it was like, I was like, what is the press tour is lasting weeks? Like, what's going on? Like, no one does this much press. Like, it doesn't take that long. Like, I just.
And when the Dirty Bird came out, I saw that shit everywhere. You know what I mean? I was like, those are the interviews everywhere, baby. It's, what else happened? Like, I don't know, man. I feel like he gets caught. Like, what happens at the end? Like,
I mean, the ending is all of the stuff that broke me specifically. But like, it's like, you know, she like wants she wants to destroy the game, and then
she deletes the, you know, deletes the character.
Yeah, she deletes the all of her campaign or whatever it is that you would say. Her, is it campaign? What is it?
Yeah, anyway, I guess so.
She deletes that, you know, and so that deletes the stats and the progress that
it also deletes the videos that
his character in the game has made, and then we get the reveal with where Rome is like tries to do it, you know, admit what happened over the in front of the croup, but then after that is the sort of like come together of like the dad realizes what he's been doing, and he like goes to her and is like, I'm gonna take you to, you know, to work on this robot arm.
Ah,
you know,
since right. you got since, what a beautiful since, moment.
You know, since you got, they do one more scene in the rain where she, you know, Marseille's there trying to get struck by lightning again because she feels like she ruined everything.
Don't they also get struck by lightning again?
Oh, they do. Oh my God, they do. It's right before Rome reveals. They get struck by lightning again, and that ends it. You know, that they can't play the game anymore. You know, and so there's nothing that they can do.
I do love when they were doing the robot and like Omar like put his head on Marseille's shoulder, and I was like, this is a cute little moment, man. Like, I don't know. Like, that's a cool look at a black dad and daughter.
And this was funny. At the end of building the robot, they're like, we just need the bronze conductor. You know, we don't have this conductor. It's a little bronze piece, it's gonna counter the weight, blah blah blah. And then it just cuts to like him giving his Heisman Trophy to a blacksmith or something, and they're like, he's like, can you cut this down?
And he's like,
my daughter needs this.
I can just give you the rod. He's like, unless you don't have to do that. It's like,
like, I feel like I'm missing a lot of context here, but so you don't have to. If you want to keep your trophy, you can keep it. Is that okay with you?
Yo, that's so funny.
He's like, I can just go get it, and I was like, that part was so fun. I do.
That was great.
There was one part that I could not fucking. Okay, beautiful scene. I was wondering how they were going to end this movie, but when they get to the game, and
this is the NFC Championship game,
and when when she hops down onto the field, mind you,
God.
I watched this.
Wait, what about the Ave Maria? Are we going to talk about that?
Oh, my goodness.
This character doesn't speak. And then he just stands up and sings in the most clearly, like studio. Like, it was like, I was like, this is not a human singing this. This is like through an amplifier. This is like, you know, there's auto-tune on this. Like, this is not a human being. But anyway, he sings Ave Maria. And then I did think it was hilarious, though, that they had the security guard. When she like runs past the security guard just has a single tear, has the Denzel tear coming out of his eyes.
What? What makes me laugh?
I missed the tear. That's so funny.
I had just watched a clip of like people getting tackled at soccer games.
Right.
And I was like, man.
For trying to jump on the field.
Yeah. And I was like, look at her running on this soccer field and then ran to the huddle. I was like, this is the TV magic, right?
Not only ran into the huddle, but was like, if you listen to my play, you'll go to the Super Bowl.
This wasn't set up at all. They all listened. They all listened to
her. And what's his name? Like, Anderson goes, wait, we're not actually going to listen to her, right? And then Tony Gonzalez is like, let's hear her out. This is the pivotal moment of a game. They're like, yeah, let's listen to this little girl give some play. We'll just listen to her because she says she's been studying the analytics.
I don't know if y'all noticed this, but in the huddle as well was Richard T. Jones. He's one of the co-writers of the original screenplay. He's an actor. He has no lines. but he's randomly in the huddle. And he's also uncredited as an actor in the movie. I don't know if y'all saw him, but he's there. He's there. He's in that huddle.
Oh, all right. All right. Look, man, the fact that they run this play and I'm like, great. And it works. And he's like, yeah, man. First off, this dude is a dick.
Here's the thing. The play didn't work. It was supposed to be that. Well, it had a 92% chance. It had a 92% chance of working. And so that 8%, we were in that other 8% because he had to toss the ball. He had to pass it to Fisher instead of making the touchdown himself, because they were definitely going to tackle him.
Which was a callback to something, him doing the lateral. I can't remember if it was in the Madden gameplay or.
Oh, yeah. Something. No, at the beginning, she says, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. You pass to Anderson. And he was like, I will never.
Yeah, as I would never pass
to Fisher. And then it needed to happen in that moment.
Yeah.
And so
he scores.
I liked all of this. And he's like, hey, Fisher, you are right.
Dan Gurwitch is one of the writers on this. And I remember him from College Humor.
Oh, hell yeah.
I remember him from College
Look Humor. At that. Look at that. Look, man,
people working. Good for them.
Look at that. You know.
When am I going to get a job?
Nigga, you got a job.
Can a brother get a job? Can a brother get a job?
You got a job.
Does he win the Super Bowl?
They just go to the Super Bowl.
We don't know.
They go to the Super Bowl, yeah.
But we don't see that, no, if they win or
oh,
not.
Oh, no, wait, right? No. Yeah, they do win the Super Bowl. They do, because he signs a 3-year contract. That's in the narration at the end. He signs.
Oh, okay.
He signs a 3-year contract after they win the Super. After he wins,
I missed
the Super
that.
Think the rush record is pre Super Bowl, right? It had to be, right? It had to be.
The record is supposed to be. The playoffs doesn't count towards the record, but they were like, "Hey, you can still beat the single season record." I was like, "No, he can't. They're in the playoffs. It's not how that works."
Yeah. So he does, anyway. But he doesn't beat the record. He's shy. You know, he's shy a handful of yards,
like 10 yards shy. That's what it was. Yeah, because he lateraled it.
Yeah, but he's a part of the winning. He wins the Super Bowl, so he can play now, because he never needed the game, you guys.
But we never saw him actually do.
No, he never. But
needed
they tell
game.
Us that
he needed.
He never
the game.
Needed,
and
the
game. He got that 3-year deal off cheating.
No, he got it off of winning the Super Bowl, because he never needed the game.
It also had to deal with the season of cheating that he did.
The season of never actually needing the game, but thinking he needed the game. You know,
he was going to be on the practice squad. He would not have won the Super Bowl.
He thought he needed the game. Because he thought he needed the game.
He fully needed it.
No.
Anyway.
But, all you right. know, well, that happened.
There it is.
That's yeah, that, yep. You know, that was solid.
Sure did.
You
it
know?
Was fun.
Yeah, look at that. You know.
Just FYI, we do spoil movies. So if you don't.
Wait, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Bray forgot to say this earlier. Can we just, we'll
me,
cut that line out
people.
And we'll put it in the beginning so that people know.
Just warn people that this movie will be spoiled. All right, Jerai, you have anything to say to Hollywood or anything?
Nah, man, I don't got nothing to say to Hollywood. I just feel like, you know, there were so many wonderful moments in this movie. That was like, oh no, man, it was just so much fun. Like at one point I thought like, oh man, this would be such a wonderful crossover, because you know, Nickelodeon does sports now. I'm like, man, all you needed to see was like just a lone basketball hit the Falcon in the center of the 50-yard line. You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck is a basketball doing on a football field? And then you get heard, oh, that's my bad. And then all of a sudden you would have seen Shaq, not as Steel, just Shaq, just chilling.
You know, just what? I just need to talk to Hollywood real quick. See, this is a movie
James,
about it starts a young black woman, she's in STEM. She's in STEM, and you know what? We don't even realize she's
so
in STEM
mad.
Until well after the fact. Because it doesn't have to be about that. It doesn't have to be a huge thing.
Why
oh my goodness,
so
you're black and you're in STEM. People
I don't talk
can just
like
be
that.
Black.
So
they can be young women. They can be in STEM.
You can.
We can just have this. We can just see a black family being together. See, Hollywood, the movies can just be like this, Hollywood. They can just be like this.
The people who've never listened to this before are so confused. They're like, what's happening? And now at the end, they just lose their minds? All right. It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like the film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for fantasy football. One, two, three.
Oh, shit. Three black fists? Yeah. Oh. I mean, it had to. Yeah. Marseille made this movie. I mean, obviously. It's a bunch of young black people in it. I mean, Omari, Kelly Rowland, with her, like, wonderful smile. And like her dance moves are in this movie.
Hey, Gerard, come back to us. Come back to us, Gerard.
No, I'm saying, because remember when she was like dancing, it was like
Elijah Richardson.
Yeah, them too. But don't forget Kelly. Kelly's teeth look so.
You already talked about her.
Huh?
You're talking about something else. You're talking about a something.
Oh, she did have one of those, like, at one point she had on like the leather jacket and then like the thigh high leather boots, and she was like, Don't you hate it?
Can we move on?
Don't you hate it when you want to be mad at
this
somebody?
This movie was also written by, at least the screenplay, written by black people, people of color, wrote on, at least on the teleplay. I didn't look at what everybody's POC makeup was, but I know that there are some, at the very least.
Based upon a screenplay by. There are three based upon a screenplay by. So I guess this was a screenplay that then got converted to a teleplay?
Yes. And I also feel like it was probably like, because it's about Madden, you know, this, who knows when it was first written, you know?
True.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Our website is blackmanpodcast.com, where you find links to merchandise that we sell via TeePublic. We have a defunct Patreon. We have a year's worth of episodes on there. So if you've ever haven't listened to those, you know, subscribe, listen to a year's worth of episodes, unsubscribe whenever you like. We also have shows that we do at Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles. So check that, the website out for tickets to the next show.
Yeah, the next one is the first Sunday in February.
Okay, there you go. And you can follow me at John Braylock, Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD. And you can listen to my show, Corrupted Files, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the AMP app. It's a lot of fun.
Did you run out of...
It's a lot of fun.
Hey, Bray, did you get your invite for the radio show yet?
Hey, I will screenshot the invite. Ray, I invited both of y'all. I will screenshot it. Y'all didn't say anything.
Oh,
it's now weeks ago now. I was like, hey, what y'all doing in November? I will screenshot it.
Anyway, you can follow me at Rob Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. All right, that was a good episode. Woo!
See you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog. Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!